Friends, we are all going to die. For some, death will come early. For others, death will come late. But make no mistake, we are all going to die, and nothing can prevent that. But if we have already died with Christ in holy baptism, then the death of our bodies is not the end of our lives, because we have already been born again by water and the Holy Spirit, and are destined to receive a glorified body on the last day, and to share the glory of God the Son, world without end. Today, at the end of Christmastide, the Church recalls with great joy the baptism of the Lord Jesus in the waters of the Jordan by his kinsman John, who preached a baptism of repentance and prepared the way of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, of course, had no need of repentance. So his baptism by John was not the sign of a change being worked in Jesus. Rather, the baptism of Jesus was the sign of a change being worked in baptism itself. Jesus changed the baptism of John from a ritual washing of the old covenant into the first sacrament of the new covenant. And then 40 days after his resurrection, as he ascended to his Father, Jesus commanded his church to preach his gospel to all nations and to baptize all those who received him with saving faith, something the church has now been doing for 2,000 years. The sacrament of holy baptism is the door through which one enters the church and the gateway to the life of grace by which we receive the gifts of faith, hope, and love. The second lesson today was also the second lesson at Mass during the night on Christmas Eve. And so this one text serves as the beginning and end of Christmastide. It is taken from the letter of St. Paul to Titus, and it speaks of the central place of baptism in the salvation of the human race. Titus was a Gentile who became a Christian and a colleague of St. Paul. And Titus traveled with Paul as his private secretary, sometime ghostwriter, and gifted preacher of the gospel. It is possible that Titus was born on the island of Crete, and it is certain that Titus was sent to Crete by Paul to found the church there and serve as its first bishop. Sometime later, St. Paul wrote a letter to Titus to encourage him in his work as a new bishop. And it is from that letter that our second lesson is taken both today and on Christmas Eve. St. Paul writes, "For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds." In these three verses, Paul has summarized the meaning, the purpose, and the result of the entire Paschal mystery. God became a man in the womb of a virgin, died upon a cross, and rose from the dead to restore a broken world, to ransom us from slavery to sin and death, and to give us the evangelical freedom of the children of God in order to prepare us to share his glory forever. The sober, upright, and godly life to which St. Paul exhorts us is made possible for us only by the grace of God. And that grace is ordinarily given to us in the sacraments of his church, beginning with holy baptism. And so Paul continues with his instruction to Bishop Titus. "When the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. So, through baptism, or the bath of rebirth, we are made new by the Holy Spirit, who is poured into us to justify us by grace through faith and make us heirs in Christ Jesus to the hope of eternal life. And that is why holy baptism is so essential to the gospel of salvation. The baptismal font is first a tomb, which then becomes a womb. The child of wrath dies with Christ in the water, and then the child of God is born again by water and the Holy Spirit to live the life of the new creation with love. This means, among other things, that holy baptism is not a social ritual to welcome a new member of the family, or merely a symbol of our hope for a child to live a good life. No, by our baptism, we are called by name to follow the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross and equipped by the Holy Spirit with the gifts of grace necessary to answer that call. And that is why the church may never baptize a child without a founded hope that she will be instructed in the gospel as she grows and be taught to receive the word of God with saving faith in Jesus Christ. And the only foundation for such a hope is evidence that the parents and godparents are already following the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross and have received his gospel in the obedience of faith. And what would that evidence look like? Well, the full version would be this: Mass every Sunday, prayer every day, confession of sins whenever needed, at least once each year and better once each month, regular study of Holy Scripture as the foundation for a life of mature discipleship, service of everyone in need for the sake of Christ, marriage only in the church, abstinence until marriage, and openness to life within marriage, never lying, cheating, or stealing, always treating other persons with respect, no matter their station in life, and constant proclamation of the gospel by our words and by our lives. These are the means given to us by the Lord Jesus to live the life of the new creation in the grace of our baptism. We should all seek to understand deeply and to live fully the grace of our baptism. And since most of us were baptized as children, this means that we need to know what happened that day by first knowing when and where we were baptized, by whom we were baptized, and who stood for us as godparents or sponsors in baptism. Then we begin the lifelong task of dying to self and living for God in Christ Jesus as faithful disciples who, with true reverence, read the Word of God and receive the sacraments of the New Covenant, especially the Most Holy Eucharist. But if holy baptism is both the sacrament of second birth, by which we become a new creation in Christ, and the gift of enlightenment by which we receive the grace to believe in Christ and to accept his gospel in the obedience of faith, then why do so many baptized persons cease to follow the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross and abandon their faith? There are many reasons for apostasy, for falling away from Christ. But St. John the Evangelist gives us the most important one in his first letter. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Friends, at the end of the day, unbelief comes from rebellion and from the hardness of our hearts, and not from the many excuses offered to justify infidelity. People walk away from the Lord Jesus because they do not want to walk the way of the cross. And the reasons they give for doing this are seldom the real reasons. But please note that in telling us to reject the love of the world, St. John is not telling us to despise God's good creation. He is insisting only that we should be separated from that part of creation which is in rebellion against the Creator. And the strength to resist that rebellion, to which we are all constantly tempted, comes from God the Holy Spirit, given first in baptism. When the Lord Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him as an anointing by which Jesus became the Christ, the Anointed One. We too were anointed at our baptism and again at our confirmation with the sacred chrism, which signifies the Holy Spirit and configures us to Christ Jesus, crucified and risen. And by that anointing, we receive the gifts of grace needed to live upright, sober, and godly lives in this world as we await the return and glory of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.